to the mic right there.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Now listen to these next two verses.
Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Now, if you'd take your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to Psalms 137. Psalms 137. We'll read this psalm to you. We'll bring you a few thoughts that's on our heart tonight. If you'd like to stand and stretch your legs for a minute, Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. You may be seated tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us, for the honor and privilege, Lord, the health, God, the desire to be in your house tonight. Lord, we pray, God, for your blessings now. We pray you'd open our hearts to the Word of God tonight. Lord, we pray we might leave here strengthened, God, from the Word of God tonight. We love you. We ask your blessings now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This particular psalm right here is a historical psalm. It covers some of the history of the children of Israel right here, of the Babylonian captivity. It's a psalm of lamentation. It's a psalm of remembrance of how things used to be. It's a psalm of regrets. And I had Brother Tim to read over there in the book of Corinthians for us that we might learn from an example of the mistakes of these people. We're human. We're prone to make mistakes. We're flesh. We're prone to leave the God we love and the God that loves us and go out and do strange things. But I want you to learn something tonight from this particular passage of Scripture right here. In verse number 3, where we'll take a title and a text from, it says, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh. Now I want to preach tonight on this thought. Wasted years. Wasted lives. I'd venture to say that most of us in this room right here that's got a little bit of age on us, if we examined ourselves and we were honest with God tonight, we'd say that we've wasted a lot of years in our life serving the things of the world, the things of the devil. And even after we become Christians, there's times in our lives when we get to following the things of the flesh and the things of the world, and it's a wasted period in our lives. These people were the people of God. Now they've gone into a 70-year captivity. Notice three things tonight. The remembrances they had, the rivers they were in, and the regrets that they have. And let's see if we can learn from their example some things that we need to avoid in our lives. Notice their history. They were a redeemed people. God had come down as He had promised Abraham and to make of him a great nation. And God came down in Egypt and delivered this people from bondage. He led them off to the promised land. There God drove out their enemies. There God had blessed them. God there had protected them. God had given them a word to help them in their lives to be obedient, that He might bless them. Their history. They were the most famous people upon the face of the earth. They were God's people. Their heritage, God had given them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But He gave them a word that they should obey, lest He'd take it away from them. God has promised you and I great promises in this Word of God. But He's also promised you and I that He'll punish us if we go against His Word. But I'm afraid a lot of times we're led astray in life. This people, their history, their heritage, their hedge, God had hedged them in. God had fought for them. And the people around, all around them, they feared these children of Israel here. Why? Because they served the true and living God. God had brought them out from under bondage by great miracles, and the fame of their God went throughout all the land. The many miracles that He had done for them. But their history, their heritage, their hedge, now it's gone. It's collapsed. It's gone because of their sin, because of their disobedience. Just for reference, let's look back in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I want to give you just a few words that God had said to them. Deuteronomy 6 and 10 says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full." Talking about an abundant life. An abundant life filled with God's blessings. Let me tell you something tonight. Don't give yourself any glory for what you've got. Let me tell you something. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. You can get you a good education. You can get you a good job. But let me tell you where the good gifts come from. From the Father. From the Father. And He can take it away just as quick as He gives it. Notice this. He says, when you've eaten and are full, He said, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, serve Him, shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, listen now, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Verse 20. When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you. I'm talking now about the handwriting, the word that God gave His people. Listen carefully to what He says. Thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. And He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. Listen, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Now they had it real clear, didn't they? Very clear. God made it very clear to them what they had to do to keep His blessings. They were under the law. We're under grace today. So don't use that as a cop-out, though. God still expects a lot out of you and me. Amen. Listen, the history, the handwriting, they became haughty. They got too blessed. They became high-minded. And listen, friend, not only that, they became hardened to the Word of God. Through the years, through the ages, as they began to stray and go away from God, God sent them judges, God sent them prophets, God sent them men with a word from Him to tell them to straighten up, to get back in line, to get back in order, or I'm going to destroy you from off the face of the earth. But there's a danger of becoming hard-hearted to the Word of God. Have you ever seen it happen to somebody? I have. I've seen people begin to lean, begin to get slack, I'm talking about Christian people now, to get slack on God. Maybe they got blessed. Hey, I found out something. Just like God said in Deuteronomy right there, many times your blessings, your money will take you away from God. But God said you better beware when you got all these good things and you're living the abundant life. You better not forget who's giving it. Hey, we want the blessings. We ought to be thankful to the giver of the blessings. Listen to me now. Don't get hardened to the Word of God. You know, sometimes God will speak to us through a message and through the hardness of our heart. We'll turn a deaf ear to it. We don't like it. When the Word of God goes to cutting, this flesh doesn't like it. And instead of repenting, instead of letting the Word of God do its work on us, we'll harden our heart to the Word of God. We'll turn our backs on the Word of God. And there's nothing left but for God to draw a line in the sand to bring judgment upon us. Now, He's not going to let His children keep a going. He chastises. He convicts. He chastises. And He'll even bury a child of God if they don't straighten out. I've seen it happen. I can take you to the graveyard and show you some folks younger than me that was baptized the same day I was baptized in the grave now because they went back on God. Amen. Hey, He told them, said, you better fear me. I'm telling you like it is. Listen, they went from the holy hill of Zion to the rivers of Babylon. From a separated, a high and mighty people of God, and now they were by the rivers of Babylon slain because of sin and rebellion in their lives. They were hostages. They went from happiness to heaviness, from high to humiliated. God will take you down, friend. You know, you can't hide from God. Listen, the Word of God applies to you and me. It's not for the person next to you, it's for you. Somebody say that. The Word of God's for me. We have to apply where we like it or not. But notice this now, the remembrances. I'm talking about the things that they're remembering now. They're down by the rivers of Babylon sitting there weeping when they remembered Zion. Hey, notice the hymns in verse 3 and 4. They carried us away, required of us a song that they wasted us, required us for myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But they responded by saying, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Can't worship the Lord down on the lake. You can't worship the Lord out of a tree stand. Amen! You can't worship Him over yonder at the racetrack or over yonder at the ball field. And they were carried away captive now down by the rivers, friend. But notice the hymns, the psalms right here. If you look through the book of Psalms right here, they're a blessing to read. They're an encouragement. They're joy to read. Most of the psalms right here speak of joy and happiness and victory and redemption of salvation and the great things that God has blessed us with. But here all of a sudden, Psalm 137, it's a psalm of regrets and lamentation, of sadness, of brokenness. Now these captors are saying, sing us one of your songs. You know what they, were saying? Back over in the, before Babylon overrun them, before Jerusalem was destroyed, before the temple was destroyed, when people gathered together at the temple there, oh, it was a great, great choir. The fame of the temple worship of people that didn't worship idols. They worshiped a true and a living God, of people that had been redeemed out of Egypt, that were glad, that were happy, that were thankful. When they came together and sang, they knew what they were singing about. Friend, but now they're over there and they hung their harps on the willow trees there. Friend, this place that they were at was a place of despair. Their hymns, they were used in worship. Most of these psalms were put to music and they would sing them when they came together at the temple and worship there. But oh, now, captive. It'd be like me going back up here to the pool room and some of the men I used to hang with saying, hey, sing us Amazing Grace. I couldn't sing that song hanging out in a pool room, could I? I couldn't go back on God and enjoy the songs of God anymore. But these people had sinned. They'd rebelled against God. Now they were captive. The hymns, but notice the harps. It says, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. You know, I started to title this message tonight and had a whole different outline of don't hang it up. Don't hang it up. Let me tell you something, friend. This harp, you'll find it's a musical instrument that was used in temple worship. If you look over in Revelation chapter number 5, you'll find that the 24 elders and the four beasts all had a harp. And they played in that great celebration over there, telling Jesus He was worthy, worthy, worthy. But now these people that once came together to worship God, and they had the orchestra there at the temple was harps and cymbals and various things that these people now, they've hung it up. Their joy is gone. Sin had taken their joy away. Now they were just haunted by remembrances. Hey, you ever went back on God? Have you ever done something God convicted you about and you went on, got involved in it anyway, and you lost your joy? And all you had, you ever come to church and felt like you was way out yonder somewhere? All you could be was just a distant spectator to the worship that's going on. But in your mind, you can remember back to when you was close to God. When you worship God. When you felt the joy of the Lord, that memory will haunt you. It'll haunt you. It'll haunt you. Because let me tell you something, friend. There's nothing this world has to offer that can take the place of worshiping God. The joy there is in worshiping Him and fellowshipping with Him when the Spirit of God fills you and thrills you at the house of God. Amen. There's no substitute. You'll not get it anywhere else in this world. Once you've experienced the glory of God, His worship, friend, if you get away from Him, you'll be haunted by the memory of it. Listen, the remembrances that they had. Boy, I don't want church to just be a memory, do you? I don't want the glory of God just to be something in my mind that I remember way back in the past. I want to experience it day by day by day. I want a clean heart and a right spirit. And we ought to desire that every time we come to the house of God. But listen, friends, the bad memories that they were having, friend, the things that was going on right here, friend, you know what they were doing? They were harvesting. They had sowed to the wind. They were reaping the whirlwind. 70 years captivity. Now look, not only the remembrances, but the rivers. The rivers. They said in verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. Notice this is the place where sin took them. God used one of the fiercest people, one of the fiercest enemies that He could possibly have chosen to come in and take them and destroy them, killing and ravishing their land, their people. The rivers of Babylon. You know what these rivers were? As I studied and I found out these rivers, he mentions rivers of Babylon. Babylon had various canals that were run throughout their land to water their crops and just to bring a paradise type place, well-watered land that they dwelt in there. You know who dug them? 70 years. They went back into slavery. They come out of Egypt from making bricks. And now they were digging canals under the hand of the Babylonian captors. No wonder they were weeping. They'd had the land of promise. They'd had the blessings of God. They'd had the glory of God at the temple. And now they've deserted Him. They turned their back on Him. They've rebelled against His Word, against Him. And now God could do nothing but bring judgment upon them. The rivers. Notice that these rivers, they lost the fellowship of the Lord. All they could do was look back towards Jerusalem. Think about the temple. But it all lay in ruins now. Oh, they'd lost that sweet fellowship that they once had. Can I tell you something? Sin will take you further than you meant to go. It took them all the way to Babylon. It took them all the way back into slavery. See, they became slaves to sin. Now God's judgment's come upon them. It took them further than they meant to go. It's going to keep them longer than they meant to stay. 70 years. A generation. It cost them way more than they ever thought they'd have to pay. Can I tell you, that still holds true today for you and me. Can I tell you something? Sin's fun for a season. Can I tell you something? The devil's got more to entice you and me with today than there's ever been, I believe, facing mankind. Young and old alike. Our children face things that I didn't face when I was growing up. But as an adult, we face things that our mothers and fathers didn't face, tempting us to lure us away from God. Lure us away towards judgment. They lost the fellowship of the Lord. They lost the favor of the Lord. I want to stay in His favor, don't you? Hey, anybody in here don't want God's blessings? Anybody in here want God's judgment down at their house? No. Listen now.
We better be obedient to God's Word. We better listen to God's preachers. We better be faithful because He's faithful. Hey, He'll be faithful to bless you or He'll be faithful to punish you. Mark it down. They lost the fellowship of the Lord. They lost the favor of the Lord. But look at this now. They lost the family that they loved. Notice this now. Jump over to verse 8 and 9. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. As thou hast served us. Now look what he says. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. You know what these people had experienced? When the cruel and fierce Babylonians overran Jerusalem, they would take a woman's baby from her arms, take it by its feet, dash it against the stones. Fierce. They lost the family that they loved. Boy, I wonder what they thought as they sat down on the rivers of Babylon over there and their minds went back to the family that they... Hey, listen, friend. They slew old, they slew young, they slew babies. It didn't matter. Man, woman, boy, girl. They killed many of them. And all that they could think, I believe, is that, boy, if we'd have just listened to God, if we'd have just been obedient, if we'd have just been obedient to Him, we could be blessed. We could have our family together, enjoying the good blessings of God. Hey, listen to me. I've seen the devil get in this church and destroy families. Amen. Listen, he's able. If you give place to him, he's able. Listen, we need to be close to God. The devil, friend, if you read Revelation, the Bible says, and in these last days, he's raging. He's going about as a roaring lion, friend. He knows that he has but a short time left. Why do you think there's so much evil in the world today? Why do you think there's so many things that's destroying people? So many evil spirits. Things going on in this world today because the devil, friend, realizes he's got just a short time left and we've got just a short time left. We better get close to God. Don't waste your years. Don't waste your years. Don't waste your life on the things of the devil. He'll destroy you. Now, lastly, the remembrances, the rivers, the regrets. They were a redeemed people. They were a people that were rewarded. I mean, God, the God of heaven, gave them so many blessings, so much that He gave them. All He required of them was to be a light to the world, to show the world that they were serving the true and living God. He wants us to be a light too, to show the world that our Redeemer lives. But they were rebellious. They were rebuked. They had plenty of opportunity to turn. Wonder if there's anybody in the house tonight that's got a little bit of a rebellious spirit about them. Wonder if there's anybody in the house tonight that's about ready just to hang the harp up. Quit worshiping God. Quit serving Him. Leaning towards the world. Leaning towards the world. About ready to fall out. Leave the things of God behind. They were remembering how good they once had it. They were regretful. But it was too late. Let me tell you something, friend. We better look at where they were by the rivers of Babylon. We better look at what they lost, what we could lose in our lives, just like this. You can lose it all. In a day's time, your life can be destroyed. Listen, lastly, we better look at what they lacked. They were lacking something. Back over there in Israel, they were lacking something. This says right here in verse 1, yea, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered. They were lacking weeping in their lives. You know when they should have wept? When the prophets tried to warn them. They should have wept when God's conviction, when God's word came to them, showed them their sin. Instead of hardening their heart against God and against the word of God, if they'd have wept then, they wouldn't have been sitting over there destroyed, weeping by the rivers of Babylon, thinking about the family that they had lost. Kind of like the prodigal son who went down to the hog pen. I believe when he come to himself, he had a lot of regrets. But I'm glad, I thank God today, if we find ourselves in the same shape that he was in, that we've got a Father that's looking our way, that'll run to you if you'll purpose in your heart. You don't want to waste your years. You don't want to waste your life. You don't want to have to lift up your head on a deathbed one of these days with regrets, do you? We better give Him our best while we have breath, while we have strength. Don't end up on a bed of regrets one day when death's closing in on you. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Wasted years. Wasted lives.